This is Hard Knocks Jimbo Lucas, and you're listening to Wrestling with Altitude.
Welcome back to the Wrestling with Altitude podcast. I am your host, Mr. Fourth Row, and joining me on this episode, I've got the guy with the million-dollar voice and the million-dollar suits to back it up, Arius Grace. How are you doing, Arius?
Hey, I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine. Excited to talk to you. So, first question out of the chute that I got for you. How did you get introduced? First introduced into this wacky world of professional wrestling?
Well, really, I mean, since I've been a kid, you know, I've been into wrestling. I used to, you know, set up my little action figures. I had my own WWE ring and used to just set it in my living room and had my own show and would really play everything. I would play the ring announcer, referee, the music guy, the director of the show. Like, I would play everything. And every time I, you know, stepped with, you know, my cousin, who's also a big fan of wrestling, we would always put a wrestling show on for the family. And so really, it's just been in my life all, you know, really all my life. My mom's been a big WWF fan, and my dad. And so it's just been in my life way, you know, basically all my life. And so really, I didn't even know anything like this, like, you know, exists where you can, you know, step into and just really explore, you know. And so it's a stepping into it, and finally, you know, I've always been one to be a referee, and you know, that's how the journey happened. And the week that I actually joined, they need the ring announcer, and I was like, you know, I have a MC magic voice too. And so I really just stepped in and decided to become a ring announcer, and trying to do both at the same time. But one, you know, we're trying to find, you know, more things to do, but we're working with it.
Right. Yeah. So I've got to ask, getting together with your cousin and putting on shows for the family. How often did you do that? And how did those go?
You know, we did that, you know, like, it was every single month that we would do something. If it wasn't with my normal cousin who I do it, it would be with another cousin. And it was just every single time. And it's funny now that I have my, you know, have my little cousins who are about, you know, 8 years old, 7 years old, all in these young ages. And we have actually our own thing, what we call Minions Wrestling. And so they every single time we, you know, I'm the big boss, the big general manager. I'm you know, hillish, you know, I'm the bad guy of the company. And every time that they see me, they always just want to jump me, and they have their own little belt. And it just comes together, and it brings, you know, not only what I do, you know, on every single weekend or every single week, but it also allows kids who, you know, I can share to them, like, look, you guys want this as your journey, I can make this happen. And so it's really every single time the family gets together, we do it, like, every single time. It does not fail.
Uh-huh. So did you do rehearsals? Did you have scripts? How in-depth did you get in doing these?
We just play it by ear. Me and my cousin, we are, you know, we just kind of discuss what we're going to do. You know, we're like, this is what's going to happen. You're still going to play the bad guy, because, you know, I'm a nice guy, but I like to be the heel. And so I was, you know, they always want me to be the heel. They always boo me every single time. And so it's already based off of what they want, you know? And so it's just like the industry that we have now. Like, we have 7-year-olds and 8-year-olds who already are trying to engage with me and trying to understand what my character is. And that's what wrestling is about. Wrestling is about just really, we understand, you know, we go out there, be a bad guy, and be and just live your best life, because that's what wrestling is about, entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree with that. Yeah, that's fantastic. I love that. Any Did you, when you did these every month, putting these on, did you like kind of theme them or anything like that? Like today's, this month's going to be the like a Royal Rumble or something like that.
You know, it always turned into they're always jumping me at the end of the show. I mean, the family watches, they enjoy, and they see what I do. But I'm just like I'm like the Vince McMahon of the company, we should say. I'm the one that goes out and makes bad decisions and get in the ring and do all that. And so it always turned into at the end of whatever, where it could turn into I have this person fighting this person, and they enjoy it. They just get into it, and then I come out, and then they like, oh, this guy again, and it's just very funny to have all these ages jump me, and I'm getting hit by little kids, and so I enjoy it, inside of the ring and outside of the ring.
That's fantastic. I love it. So how did we make the leap from that, from your passion in doing that, to you actually personally get involved? Like you said, you wanted you did the referee thing first. How did how what was the mindset? What was your thinking about? I want to get involved and I want to do the referee thing. Tell us the steps and how that came to be.
Yeah, so really, people are gonna think I'm crazy with this, but I used to, we used to have a trampoline. Every house that I was at, we had a trampoline, and I used to kind of basically be the referee to Ghost, really, and be in the backyard, being whatever, what I can. And so then once my friends came over and family, they all knew that my parties were going to be wrestling thing. If they didn't come to my party and they didn't see any type of wrestling, or we didn't do any wrestling type of show, they knew something was up. And so every single time we come over, and I would just really, I was more of the type of person who I like to be the sideline guy. I like to be the coach. I like to be the referee. I like to be the one who I want you to succeed. And yes, I've been in the field. I've been in the ring. I've been doing, I've done the sport. I've done all this going on, and it really pushes me to like, okay, if I want this in my life, how would it be? And so really, like I said, I didn't know, the Al Snow Wrestling Academy existed. I didn't know any type of school existed. I didn't even know that, you could do things like this. And so there was one day that WWE was actually here in Denver, and I went to go meet AJ Styles. And I asked AJ Styles, I was the only one, because he looked at me crazy, because he's like, you're the only one to ask me this question. And I said, I've been thinking about it since I was waiting for you to come, out and meet me, And so I asked him, I said, how did you join WWE? How can I get into this journey with you? And he told me really to just find the nearest school. And I looked and I said, you're talking about a college or what? And he said, just find the nearest wrestling academy. And if it wasn't for AJ Styles, you guys wouldn't magic voice and me being the referee of wrestling. So if it wasn't for AJ Styles actually telling me, this is what you need to do to get into this journey. This is how you can get it. Because at the end of the day, people have all these dreams and all these, expectations. Well, one day I'm gonna do this, one day I'm gonna do this, but they don't know how to get there. And AJ Styles helped me get there, and I hope one day that I'm going to be working side by side with him to appreciate him.
Yeah. Well, we're all, of course, there's a big momentum for you to for that for you. So yes, because you should be well aware of that. So we have that's fantastic. I love that AJ promoted that, and and if of all people that he would know that, he would know that, because think about his journey from where he started to where he's been, and the whole circle that he's done. So what did you do? Did you just hit up the old Google machine and find a school?
So really, I just kind of started looking around, because I was trying to listen to AJ Styles, what he was saying, and I was trying to figure out like some side notes what he's saying, because I just didn't know. Look up, because when he said school, I'm just like, okay, do I go to college and they'll recruit me from there? Like, what is going on? So then I looked up Wrestling Academy, and a picture showed up of when Rocky Mountain Pro was at Eulogies, and I looked and I said, what is this? And so then I started looking more into it, and then literally the next week, I got an email from Mercury Aiden, and was like, hey, this is when our open house is. We'll love to see you. And actually, today is the year anniversary of me actually going to the open house and joining Rocky Mountain Pro Wrestling.
Oh, fantastic. Wow. Kind of a cool thing to be having you on. I had no idea, Seth. That's going to be a great thing for this episode. So did you know that you wanted to do the referee route before you got in, or did you just attend that open house?
So I signed up to be a referee, and that was supposed to be my main focus. I was supposed to just do refereeing, and I already had the mindset of being a referee. And actually, that same week, the ring announcer that they had end up leaving the company. And they were sitting down, they're talking, and they're like, "Hey, we're looking for a ring announcer." And Bruce Wayans turned around and it was like, "We're looking for you guys." And he's just like, looked at us, and then he like made eye contact with me. And then I was like, "Oh, no, I'm not doing that," because I was not, not into ring announcing and doing all that. And so I then was like, "Okay, I left," and I was like, "I gotta go." So I left and I just started thinking about it. I was like, "So should I pursue this ring announcing because I've got the voice for it, or should I stick with refereeing and not say anything?" And that, a couple of days after, I started thinking. I said, "Hey, because they had a show this weekend and that weekend." And no, sorry, the following weekend, I text Mercury and I was like, "Hey, if you need a ring announcer, I can do it." And he said, "Come on to the show and watch me do it." And so it was really supposed to me just be watching and learn from Mercury Yaden. That's all I was supposed to do, and I was supposed to just sit there and just look what type of style they want, really study what he wants. And he couldn't multitask, because at the same time he was backstage controlling the cameras. And so he could have multitasked, so he handed the microphone to me, and I said, "I don't know anybody backstage. I didn't introduce myself to anybody. I don't know their wrestling name. I don't know anything." And from there, from that journey, when he handed me that microphone, the magical voice of Aries came out, and from then I became the ring announcer of Rock R&B.
Oh wow. What was that what was that first show, and how did you feel it went?
It was one of the charge tapings, and really, I really felt like I was, when Mercury Yaden hears this, I know he's going to probably say this was true, but I really felt like I was annoying him, because I was like, "Bro, how do you pronounce this? How do you pronounce this? How do you do this?" Because I've never once watched Rocking Iron Pro. I didn't watch one episode. I didn't even study it before I even joined the school. I was just so passionate to join the actual show and just be what I love to do, be surround myself around people, because yes, it's cool to go to WWE and AEW and NXT, and it's cool to be the audience, but it's so different when you actually join the industry. Like me being inside of a squared circle and actually doing what I say every single time. Every single time WWE came to Denver, and every single time, WrestleMania was around, I said, "One day I'm going to be a referee. One day I'm going to be on the other side of the barricade." And it's just crazy that dreams do come true when you just follow through that passion. And so really, when that first show hit, I didn't know how I was doing. I was nervous. I was like, "Okay, what am I supposed to do? What if I pronounce, the name wrong, and then I get beat up backstage or something, And and really, once that all happened, once the show ended, the lights came back on, I literally every single person backstage came up to me and said, "You have an amazing voice, and this is what you're gonna do." And it changed my, mind, because I didn't go in as a ring announcer. I didn't even think to be the ring announcer. I'm, still want to be a full-time referee. So I, if anyone's hearing on this radio, hey man, let's get an Aries signed as a referee. But whatever this industry takes me, I can do it all, and so it's we'll see what happens.
Yeah, right. True. So true. Yeah. So, one thing that the listeners may or may not know is that you have been able to referee a few matches, and kind of a little bit out of pulling the rug. And this, I mean, it's not really a maybe a big issue, but sometimes when we had, with Rocky Mount Pro, we've got our Ignition tapings, and then we have like a big weekend ahead of us. So I think your debut refereeing match was one of those weekends that you got to referee at like at Ignition, because we wanted to save your voice for the weekend, right?
So how that all happened. So my first ever, actual referee match was actually with GCW in Wyoming. And I actually did I did the pre-show match, and because Dewey was like, "Hey, I want you to referee a match," you know, because they told me to bring. So my what I was told is that I was going to be the ring announcer for them, and so I was like, "Okay, I have my suit ready, I got all this ready." And then once I got to Wyoming, they're like, "We don't need a ring announcer, we need more referees." Mm. And so I got. I didn't, you know, I was still the rookie at the time, and I didn't bring my referee gear. So I ran to Walmart, found a black shirt, black pants, black shoes, and I ran over back to the arena and refereed in all black because, you know, their referees use all black. So luckily, you know, it worked out all well.
Right.
And so I did that, and I was only supposed to do that pre-show match. And Dewey was like, "Wow, I'm so amazed. Like, that was your first match. You did great communicating, doing all that." And he was like, "We're going to give you another match." And so I was supposed to be on a match, a regular match, 1v1, just a regular match. And then Orrin Vyte actually was like, went up to Dewey and was like, "I want him." And because Orrin Vyte knows, you know, him and I are close. Ever since I started the school, him and I have been close ever since. And I'm his personal referee. Bruce Wayne, I'm his personal ring announcer, and Orrin Vyte, I'm his personal referee. Mm-hmm. And so any match Orrin Vyte does, and Orrin Vyte's match was actually a barbed wire match. And Dewey was looking at me like, "Are you sure you want to do this? Because this is hardcore wrestling. You're about to do this is your debut of refereeing." I said, "I want to do it." Yeah. And so my first, you know, actual live pay-per-view for GCW refereeing was a barbed wire match with Orrin Vyte. And I forgot who the wrestler was, but I've been introducing everybody, so I forgot those. But that was my first ever referee match. And then just then, I just became, you know, started training more to be a referee more. And then Ignition came around and this year and began. I was like, I was mainly supposed to just be the ring announcer and for all shows, Charge, pay-per-views, Ignition, all this wonderful stuff. And there was this one weekend where we are filming 8 weeks of TV and a pay-per-view on Friday and then something, a seminar on Sunday. And I was like, "Is there anything I can do?" And they're like, "Well, why don't you just ref?" And that was my debut for Rocky Mountain Pro.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. So far with we're going to kind of separate this out. So far with the refereeing all the matches that you've done so far, what's been the favorite one that you've called?
My favorite referee match, I would say, was probably, let's see what, all the other ones. The top normal match that I've done was with Mercury Aiden versus Kendrick LaRoe. The reason why is because Mercury Aiden, he's not only just the founder and the owner of Rocky Mountain Pro, and I'm not just saying that to get it, you know, because I still want my spot as a ring announcer, but when there's something that needs to be done in that ring, he does stuff so naturally that we can just move around him that it looks so natural. So it may look like a mistake that we just made a mistake and we're about to get yelled at, but he makes it look so natural. And so him and I, when we're in the ring, we communicate so well together where it just feels like butter in the ring, you know? So it just feels like we get through the match and we go backstage and we're good, and that's what we call it. Really, with high flying, I would say Orrin Vyte and Atiba, when I actually had to hold up the X when Orrin Vyte got hit in the eye a couple weeks. That was probably, you know, it started off hot, and once I noticed that, it was, you know, I just seen blood rushing down, and I was like, wow. And so, really, those two are probably my top two. No, you said top one, but I'm giving it two. Top two of the matches when, you know, that are probably my favorite going on forward.
Yeah. You know, and I may have been a little missed, too. Maybe I should have just asked also, who you like to referee in the match? And has there been any, like, maybe spots or things where it's like you've been so... you know, you've been seeing what's happened there in the action, and sometimes you forget that you're refereeing this match. You got to get your head back in and call the action. Any you had any of those kind of moments where you just are in awe of what you're in a witness to? You're, you know, the few feet away from the action.
You know, I really think that goes back to when I was at GCW for in Wyoming when I was a referee with the Fort Warren Invite.
Okay.
Number one, that was my first hardcore match, and I was very nervous because I didn't know when I count to three, am I going to get barbed wire stuck in my hand, or am I going to go, you know, with cuts in my hand? And really, that really just kind of was like, wow, I'm actually doing this well. You know, I could be a fan watching this. You know, and it's like, the things you see that, you know, I grew up and seeing, and, you know, like the TLC pay-per-views with WWE and all these wonderful things that are going on. It's like you see all this, you know, happening from behind the barricade. But when you're actually in the ring, like, yeah, I do get into the moment where I'm like, what is going on? Like, I'm literally wrestling a match for, you know, probably, you know, one of the top four companies and of wrestling. And then, you know, I'm just going around, like, looking, and it's just, there are moments where I, even on Ignition, like, I'm just sitting there, like, you know, my dream is actually coming true on what I want to do in life.
That's fantastic. So, kind of transitioning about from the refereeing, we're going to talk a little bit about the ring announcing. How do you choose what you're going to wear at each and every show? Do you try to theme it up to a particular, you know, if it's Ignition or it's Charge, just a pay-per-view or things like that? Or what are you kind of looking for? How are you styling your announcer outfit?
You know, that I can't put no spoilers out on the internet, but I'm just kidding. But really, it's I mean, I just kind of based it off the theme of you know, the pay-per-view. Like, I kind of look at the poster and what it is. So, for example, so with Shocktober, you know, I wore that all-gold suit. And I was, like, trying to figure out what suit should I wear for that. And I was just thinking, because it is a Halloween event and all you see is crazy costumes going around, why can't I have a crazy suit, you know? So those are the kind of things that I start thinking of, you know, weeks before. Like, I'm already trying to think of my milestone suit, of what I'm going to wear at Milestone and what I'm going to wear, you know, for the next Charge tapings. And, you know, so I'm trying to think of it because not only am I, you know, really trying to figure out, okay, what suit looks good with this and what am I going to do that? Obviously, you know, I'm trying to worry about everything else on, you know, coming to the ring announcing and doing all, you know, doing that, what did I wear 2 weeks ago? You know, what did I wear a month ago? So I'm not wearing that same type of pattern. So really it's just me about, really the theme of the pay-per-view. Like Shocktober and what else did I wear? I can't even think of the suits. I can't even think about what I wore.
So kind of along with that too, you put so much effort, it sounds like, into this. Do you get a little when the fans, we got this the thing, they're always asking you to take it off, but you put so much effort into this, do you get a little kind of like thinking that from the fans going, I put so much effort into this, but you want me to take it off?
It's an ongoing thing, you know. I know when I'm gonna go out there, I'm gonna either hear my name chanted or I'm gonna hear, you know, take it off. And really, I really really don't even care about the effort. If I ruin the jacket, I ruin the jacket. I give what the fans want, you know, and it's just based off their energy. So if they're not, you know, they got to deserve it too, you know? So if they don't give what I want, then they're not going to get what they want. And so it's just a fair trade. If they do great and the energy's up and they're cheering for the people and booing for the people that I want them to boo, then I will take off the jacket. They actually asked me last week, at a pay-per-view, they asked me to make merch saying take it off on the merch. So Artie, it looks like you may have some stuff coming towards you, extra stuff.
Oh, that's cool. I'll sell the crap out of it. I don't mind. That'd be fun. Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. It's something we don't have a lot of the merch stand is either referees or announcers, things like that. I always feel that they it's kind of a missed opportunity. I know a lot of them don't. So I'd be more than welcome to that. That'd be fantastic. Go ahead.
The fans were asking for it, so I'm gonna have to give it to them very soon.
Gotta give them what they want. That's the saying. with the refereeing, what have been some highlights with the refereeing? Like either you know, that you were like, "Oh God, I can't believe I get to announce this or a match," or you know, maybe a couple of wrestlers, you know, trying to rib you while you're trying to call their names or announce, you know, who's defending which championship, things like that, while you're in the ring, they're in the ring, they're trying to distract you, anything like that. Any of those kind of moments come up in this journey so far?
Absolutely. So one of the greatest, you know, times, every single time I announce someone, the best, you know, who really messes with me in the ring and really just pushes me and shoves me and makes sure that I get his name right is Damon Ace. Damon Ace is one of the ones who, you know, will get all in my face, and I'm trying to introduce him, and you know, it really helps me. Like, I got to make sure that if I don't get this right, he's gonna do something to me. So, those are the moments that, you know, I try not to listen to what they say. I don't know what it is, but every single time, like, I used to be so stage fright. Like, I did not want to grab a mic. I didn't want to go on the stage. Don't put me under the spotlight. I want to be in the dark. And ever since I first stepped onto the stage, this was just, you know, really when I started, you know, doing concerts and doing all that. Like, when I first did that, I have a cue where I kind of click off and I click off what's going on around me. So when someone like and is, you know, in the audience, you know, chanting my name over and over, when someone, you know, like Damon Ace is in my face and making sure that, you know, I'm doing what he wants to do, I learned how to click it off and just do my job. And just get out the ring and do what I, you know, have to do is ring the bell and ring announce everybody else's name, you know. So there's just something where I know how to click it off and click it back on, you know, when I'm and it's weird, like right when I'm in the ring, like it's not that I'm ignoring them, but I know how to click it off when I have to, you know. And then when it comes to, you know, when I'm outside of the ring, I hear everything that goes on. So it's just something that I got that it's easy for me that I've learned throughout the years how to click on and click off when I, you know, I'm getting distracted or whatever.
Yeah, I totally get that. I totally understand that. That's fantastic. All right, so we kind of talked about the past, the present, but what about the future? What is it? Is there anything with this journey that you want to do either with refereeing or announcing? You know, what's kind of like on your goals list or on your vision board or your bucket list or whatever term you like to use?
Yeah, you know, the number one thing is what I like to focus. I really want to make referee a full-time job. As much as that I enjoy ring announcing and I enjoy, you know, if people see me outside of, you know, the ring, I'm still wearing button-up shirts, you know, you know, dress pants and dress shoes outside of work. Like in my closet, you don't see a lot of, you know, Jordans or, you know, all these, you know, high styling shoes. I only got dress shoes because that's what I just do, you know, when I'm outside of the ring. And so really, my number one priority is becoming a referee. Referee has been my big thing, and also just working behind the scenes when it comes to directing and doing, you know, anything that has to do with production or giving time. Yes, it's stressful because, you know, sometimes you don't get what you want, but at the end of the day, you got to understand that you're not the one performing it. You got others who are, you know, performing. And so when it comes to like making goals, like I want to make sure that if I become a referee or if I get, you know, if I get signed to become a referee, if I get signed to become a ring announcer, or if I even get signed to be one of the production people backstage, you know, I want to give it my best and make sure that I give what the company wants. You know, at the end of the day, I just got to go out and do my job. So really going back to my goals list, it's really number one, my priority is to become a referee. Number two is becoming a ring announcer. And number three is really try to find something backstage.
Yeah, becoming a like we kind of say, becoming an asset, to
Yeah.
yeah, exactly. Fantastic. All right, well, Arius, I think that might be a fantastic point to put on this conversation. But before I do let you go, if the listeners want to catch up with you, say like on the interwebs, the social media, the et cetera, those kind of things, and also what upcoming shows and events could they see you on coming up here in the future?
Yeah, if you guys want to check out my Instagram, it's Arius, Arius. @Grace, Grace. Check out all the wonderful, you know, pictures and things I got. If you guys want to know more about me and my personal life, that's the same thing with Facebook. Just look up my name and you guys will see it. I'm really only on Instagram and Facebook. So if you guys want to catch me on there, catch me there. And next time, I hope to see you guys at Milestone coming up in June. So those that are not seeing it, those that live in Colorado or live outside of Colorado, buy your tickets for Milestone, because I guarantee you the road to Milestone is going to be a packed show for you if you buy your tickets then. And that's June 24th for y'all.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, Arias, thank you once again for coming on, and I will be seeing you, of course, in the future.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me.
Once again, a big, huge thank you to Arias Grace for coming on to this episode of the Wrestling with Altitude podcast and introducing himself to all of our listeners. Let's do a week in review of what I got to experience this past week when it came to the wacky world of professional wrestling. This past Friday, we had the pay-per-view at Rocky Mountain Pro, the Peak of the Pack, and it was a fantastic event. First time Peak of the Pack was its own pay-per-view, and if you guys have not seen it, you can still go to Fight TV and search for Rocky Mountain Pro, and you can get that pay-per-view and watch it. And once you do pay for it, you can watch it back as many times as you would like. It's a fantastic thing about a lot of the events on Fight TV. You can do that, so you can build your digital library on Fight TV like you build your library on other streaming devices when you purchase, like, say, movies and shows and things of that sort. Then on Saturday, we went right back to the Wim Arena at Rocky Mountain Pro and got to film 8 weeks of television for the upcoming Charge television shows on for Rocky Mountain Pro. So it was a long weekend for me and a lot of things to see. What we got coming up this week, this upcoming Friday, we have Rocky Mountain Pro heading back to the Bierstadt Lagerhaus. The show starts at 8 p.m. and is a free event. And all we ask for you to do is to patronize the Bierstadt Lagerhaus with refreshments and food. Perhaps try that famous mac and cheese. A lot of different flavors to choose from. I've tried many of them, and there's many more to go. That's how many flavors they've got there. Then on Saturday and Sunday, we are heading to the Mile High Flea Market. No charge for the wrestling, but there is a fee to get into the Mile High Flea Market. So as a buyer, it's a nominal fee to get in for that admission, and well worth to see Rocky Mountain Pro. And then, of course, shop all the deals and all of the grounds there on the Mile High Flea Market. So we'll be there from noon to 3 on Saturday and Sunday. So we hope to see you all there. Before we get out of here, let's please remind you, if you'd like to help support the show, you can head over to my Pro Wrestling Tees website at prowrestlingtees.com/Mr. Fourth Row. Buy a shirt for the show. It'd be greatly appreciated. And I still have a few Wrestling with Altitude shirts on hand. So if you want to get some without having to wait for the order and the shipment, please hit me up on my social media and we can do that. When get in contact with the show, WrestlingWithAltitude.com is the website. Podcast@WrestlingWithAltitude.com is the email address. We're on Facebook of Wrestle with Altitude, of course, and on Twitter of the handle WrestleAltitude. Thank you, as always, for listening and having fun wrestling with Altitude.